PFT Media.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
It's Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes it. Listen to his shit.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Ladies, oh God.
No God. Not oh God, no God.
No God. Happy Easter. This Easter watched 30 Days of Night for Danny Houston's best performance. Second ever. Best performance.
I mean
The Proposition.
I mean, he's really good in The Proposition.
Really good in The Proposition. It's episode 619. How you doing, Drew?
Happy
Easter. It is. It's Easter. We're getting together on Easter Sunday. We don't get many Easters together anymore, dude.
Jesus was a lich.
Do you guys remember this?
I say it every year.
We've done it before.
I'm not reading the whole thing this time. I'm fucking way too lazy, too old, too tired.
But you've done it, though.
Jesus was a lich.
He was. And so when someone says, you know, Happy Zombie Jesus Day, blah, 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 you smacked him in the mouth. And you're like,
motherfucker.
Get your fucking facts right, you piece of fucking shit. God, like, well, relax, bro. It's Easter, man. And you're like, you know what? It's right, dude. I haven't had my brunch yet. And then you go to Easter brunch, get some mimosas, and then, everything's better. Did you have your Easter mimosas?
No.
No? Did you have your Easter ham?
No.
You can take some home. I'll give you some ham to take home. You get some, the take-home version of the show is when you get ham.
Yes. Wait a minute. So we're shipping people ham now?
We're shipping people ham. Remember when game shows would have like the take-home version of the show?
Yeah.
Man, imagine if when we had guests regularly, that would be expensive. Here, give them a box. Here's a take-home version of Cinema Crespo.
We don't have that kind of money.
Hell no, never. Barely had the money to give away all the dollar store shit I gave away in the box or the bag or box.
Yeah.
God, that was so much work. It was too much. I don't know why. This is fine. All we gotta do is just see some movies, talk about news, this is good.
It's fine.
Get rid of the guests, they were in the way. Some of them are good, but most of them are very unforgettable.
Well, most people are pretty forgettable, so that tracks.
It does track. Most movies are forgettable. Mm. I was thinking about that as I was wrapping up this week's Florida Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start talking about that. I'm going to do right up top. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I saw 6 movies.
Okay.
And 2 shorts.
Gotcha.
I would say I liked most of them to various degrees. Mm. And there's only one that I really didn't like. That was like an unpleasant experience.
Nice.
So
you don't get that very often these days.
Yeah, like I really just like thoroughly... Like, you know what? It doesn't look good, but at least it also, the sound also sucks. And it's very irritating to listen to. So I'm going to talk about these movies. And anyway, and then we'll get into our reviews of Sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I saw The Amateur.
That movie has one of the most surprising dance scenes all time.
We're going to talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that for sure. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. So I'm going to get through these pretty quick. Because also, these movies, it's not like they're going to be wide for a while. I'm not going to get into details. So these will be kind of quick.
I don't know why that scene stuck with me for that movie.
Because it's fantastic.
So weird.
Because it's incredible. Because you've seen nothing like it.
No, you're right. No. I have never seen Irish Folk Vampire Lord of the Dance.
No. And yet it fits so well.
Yeah.
Man. No, we'll talk about Sinners. We're for sure going to talk about Sinners, but first we're going to talk about the first movie that I saw that like Saturday at 10 a.m. last weekend. Everyone's going to get a chance to see this. It'll be on Max because it's an A24. Have you seen the trailer or the marketing for The Legend of Ochi?
Yes.
About a family and some sort of like, I don't know, vaguely Scandinavian island country. They are hunting. What do you call them? That look like to you? Look like a little monkey?
Little monkey things.
Little lemur things.
Yeah. Some sort of primate.
Some sort of primate that they're like they're dangerous, and we send out the young boys to learn how to hunt them, to like make them boys. And it's Willem Dafoe. He's like you've been sent to me to turn you into men. And meanwhile, his daughter finds a small one. And finds out that it's actually friendly. This is all in the trailer. Yeah. Finds out that it's actually friendly. It's like, I'm going to take this thing home. If you see the trailer and you're like, this looks good, I'm interested, see the movie. Because it delivers on the promise of all that marketing. Mm. It's got a handful of great surprises. And the Ochi, the creature thing, man, come on. Adorable. Like live action Ghibli type shit.
I mean, yeah.
It's fucking...
I got an email to pre-order a plush, and I'm like, I don't have this kind of money.
Oh, really? Of course. It's almost made for marketing, this goddamn thing. The story, the movie itself is not like any sort of mainstream commercial. It's a little weird, a little kooky, obviously, that is you would expect now from something that A24 would produce.
Well, I mean, produced and distributed by A24, starring Willem Dafoe. Yes. The movie's going to be fucking weird.
You expect a base level weirdness. The movie delivers on that. Also, Emily Watson is in it. She's great. And the effect. And then I saw online on like TikToks a making of stuff about the puppets. Like it's not mostly CG.
No.
There is CG, but the CG is like they have the puppeteers on the set, like in full body suits with their sticks or whatever.
Yeah, and so they got to remove the people.
And they paint the people out. But yeah, but they got a little actual thing. They go, "Kuchiku." They go, "Oh, God." It's like they got Baby Yoda up there on stage in Tokyo for the Star Wars celebration shit. You see that?
Yeah.
Like, God damn it. It's reaching out to Pedro Pascal on stage.
His face.
And it's like, it's just, and there's just some guy off the side going like with a
remote control. Xbox controller.
Xbox. God. Technology is awesome. CG, I don't know. Legend of Ochi is pretty cool, though. For sure one of the better ones I've seen, but also probably one of the bigger budget films of the ones I've seen.
Well, I was about to say, it just got the wide release, so...
Mm-hmm. That happens. I've found for sure over the years at the Florida Film Festival, the bigger movies that they get are movies that they will then, at the Enzian Theater, will carry right after the festival, yeah, or will go wide release very shortly thereafter. So that's why I didn't stress about the one screening of David Cronenberg's The Shrouds selling out. Couldn't get it with my press pass.
Of course
but,
not.
I mean, it's going to be at the Enzian.
Soon.
This Friday.
Oh, there we go.
And may even be going wider same weekend. So, I mean, everyone's going to get a chance to get crony. At least one more time in theaters, we all get crony.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his son makes movies too, and they're all fucked up as well.
And his daughter, Humane, is her movie that got a small theatrical release. I've been meaning to watch. It's on. It got okay reviews. It's on streaming. So it's double Cronin progeny out there.
I mean, shit. Fucking Possessor with
nuts. Possessor, I saw it on... I'll scroll through Tubi.
That movie is nuts.
Last night, I was scrolling through Tubi, and I saw Possessor.
It's one of those movies where, like...
I kind
of
want to watch this again.
You just let people click on this willy-nilly.
I know.
Really?
It's just out there. Then I wondered, is this the uncut version? Because that's out there, too. Oh, boy. We saw that at the Enzian.
Mm-hmm.
During the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. Great movie to see during a pandemic. Freaking out. All right, Legend of Ochi was good. I saw this movie called Somnium. It's a sci-fi movie that's set in like a sort of kind of futuristic sleep study place. Okay. But the service that they offer is I say I want to be rich. I want to be a rich, successful writer, novelist. I tell them that. They put in a program where I sleep there like every night for 6 weeks straight, and then they're playing sounds and audio and visuals. Fuck with my brain as I sleep. So then when I wake up, it's kind of like a think it, be it, believe it type thing, and don't make it happen for real. What is your reality? Is it your reality? Anyway, it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Movie is about how there's an overnight shift that they have trouble filling. So this young woman who's new to town needs a job, takes this overnight job. She wants to be an actor, so she has to she auditions during the day. And it's essentially about a woman trying to break into Hollywood, break into the business, and all the dark underbelly that we know of like LA and all that stuff. But then it's all set through this sort of kind of dream center, like sort of mystery, kind of horror-ish sort of thing.
Okay.
Like thriller, psychological thriller. Yeah. Pretty good.
Cool.
Pretty good, yeah. It was pretty good. Some of these I expect to see on, like, aforementioned Tubi.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always looking for film festival movies I've seen in the past. Like, where are these things?
They show up on Amazon Prime and Tubi.
Yeah,
and
exactly. Yeah, I think Somnium will be, like, one of them. I'll pick up like that.
Become a Freevee original.
Yes. Oh, man. Freevee. Didn't they shut Freevee down? God. It was too free. It was too free. You can't be that free. I saw one documentary. Yes. Called Death and Taxes. This guy, Harvey, something. He got mega rich in the 60s. He worked for like CBS Records. He bounced around like Warner Brothers, Sony. He was the first white person to run a division of Sony Corporation, like the early 80s. That's how popular and successful he was. He was also a dickhead. And he tells everyone, listen, I'm a dickhead. That's just how I am. And people are like, oh, fine, we get it. But meanwhile, he's also can be a nice guy. The movie is made by his son, who is a documentary filmmaker, which is made possible by his dad's money. Yeah. So the movie is very much about being a product of that. He's always talking about his dad. It's about his dad. It's about his relationship with his dad. But it's also about his dad's obsession with the death tax, the estate tax. Uh-huh. So it gets into the whole, all of that. Like, what is the estate tax? Why do we call it the death tax? Why do Republicans want to abolish it so bad? Who does it actually affect? It gets into that kind of stuff.
Does it actually affect? Mostly rich people.
The most rich people. Richest people.
It tries to stop the amassing of
familial wealth.
Too great of generational wealth.
Yeah.
Trying to stop, you know, the Rockefellers from happening again.
Exactly. Trying to stop this isn't an aristocracy.
Yeah.
It's a democracy, right?
Yes. No. Not anymore.
Not even a republic. Not even what it pretended to be. Now it's an oligarchy.
Yeah.
Oligarchy.
Fascist oligarchy with very right-leaning tendencies.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, man, we're just talking about the news is what we're seeing, you know. It also gets into you can't really talk about that stuff, but I get into the racial aspect of it all, redline housing, et cetera, et cetera. This guy squeezes a lot into 90 minutes pretty well, and also is a pretty effective portrait of a guy dealing with his relationship with his dad. And since he was a documentary filmmaker, he always had the camera out in his film and his family a lot, so he had like
archival footage.
10, 15 years worth of footage. Yeah, yeah.
That's what happens when you make a documentary about your dad.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you got the footage. Do it. So it was very effective, very well done. I liked it. And also came with a short before it called Just the Tip, which is about a Jewish woman who loves her Jewishness and identifies with it very much and makes art about it, et cetera, et cetera. But she married a white guy, a goy. And the conversation they're having is, if we have a son, because we want to have kids, will he be circumcised? Because she's openly being like, I have a little guilt for not marrying a Jewish guy. Mm. I want my son to retain Jewishness. How do you feel about that? And this goy is all like, I don't want you cutting my son's dick off. not like that, but you know. Yeah. He's like, no, I don't like that. I don't want that to happen. So it's like a pretty, it's a short film about her exploring that, talking to different people in the Jewish community, and essentially a lot of people trying to convince her to chop that thing off. And then, spoiler alert, and then she gets pregnant. It's a girl, so.
I guess you don't have to worry about that.
So, yeah, next one. We'll see what the next one. Pretty interesting little well-made thing, but a good conversation that I'm sure has been happening. Right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, and gets very much into, you know, she loves being Jewish, but also she's not Orthodox. She doesn't love being Jewish that much because she ain't Orthodox. She's not doing the whole dress down. Like, she was talking to a rabbi, and then she was like, can I get a hug? And the rabbi was like, no. Please do not touch me. You're not.
You are unclean.
Yeah, this is not how this works. Exactly. You know that Jewish lady. Under the Burning Sun, Drew. This movie, Under the Burning Sun. It's a short one, like 75 minutes. And thank God, if it went on longer, I don't know if I could take it. It's set in. Remember how we talk about that movie, The Blood of the Juggers? Remember that we saw that one Rutger Hauer movie that like takes place in the background of Mad Max?
Oh yeah,
the
yes.
people playing that crazy sport uh-huh. and killing
yes.
each other.
Yes,
this movie Under the Burning Sun takes place in the background of the Rover.
Okay,
it's happening in the Rover, yeah. but like on a different continent.
Yeah,
for sure. Same, okay. it's the same. Dusty, fucked up, grimy world. Everything sucks. Everyone's, you know, Alfred himself. Uh-huh. And
we have a dead dog in the trunk.
Close. Oh, man, Drew, so close. This is brutal. It's about a woman, a young woman.
I loved that reveal.
It's like, oh. And he buries it.
Exactly.
Oh,
it's like,
Drew.
So, oh, this is a fucking you, dog body? Jesus
know,
Christ.
Yeah, you know how close you are. It opens. It opens with this young woman. Again, the shittiest condition. Yeah. Everything's disgusting. Dirty. Everyone is dirty. Finding out that she's pregnant.
Ooh.
So it's like I said, the Rover. Like they still have pregnancy tests, and actually, there's pregnancy centers where they're like, we need people to have kids. We're trying to repopulate this fucked up world.
Why?
Exactly. It's fucked up. Exactly. I was thinking. Early on in the movie, I was thinking she turns on the faucet, no water. She's covered in dirt. I'm like, I'll just kill myself. Why? What am I living for at this point? I'm living for more suffering?
You're just living to live.
No, I can't.
Because unfortunately, you have
that weird drive.
It's so to weird. Stay alive.
I thought the same thing. I was like,
unfortunately.
Would I just be like, I gotta.
I mean, eventually, I yeah.
Under this burning sun, I will keep living. She finds out she's pregnant. Early first scene of the movie, the whole movie is her trying to get an abortion.
No.
And she goes to a doctor and she's like, I need an abortion. And the doctor's like, get out. And she's like, no, I need an abortion. He gets up, grabs his jacket and leaves, gets in his car and drives off. And she's like, what the fuck do I do? Again, in the background with a Rover.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Well done. Interesting. Character study of this little world, and I gotta say, like this is kind of a backhanded compliment that there are some aspects of the movie, one group that she ran into, another town that they talk about but we don't see. I wanted more, like I can explore more in here. It almost like moved a little too fast.
Well, maybe they didn't have the budget.
Don't have the budget. You're afraid to turn in something so meditative, maybe for as you're like a feature you're trying to sell. Like a lot of these movies don't have distribution yet. So, but I thought it was very, very good. Take some very interesting turns. Very effective ending. Very good. And like I said, 75 minutes when it was over, I was like, get me out. I'm gonna go take a shower. Okay, and then this last movie, man, I hope, you know, I'm putting this part out, like this whole first section out there right away, and not behind the paywall. So it's possible people may, you know, search the title and want to hear my thoughts about it or whatever. So if they happen to, I'm just saying, you may not want to hear this part, guys, if you're listening. I saw this movie called It Doesn't Get Any Better Than This.
Okay.
Great setup. This is why I went. I saw this last night. Great setup. It has it's about this couple who they're horror film aficionados and also want to make movies. They make little short films and stuff. And also they have a third friend that had this sort of a little complicated friend history there, but this guy is gay, so it's not a sexual thing, but no. There's still like a friendship anyway. Tension. they buy a really shitty house in some shitty town, wherever they live, somewhere in Missouri or Oklahoma, I don't know. And they're like, this house sucks. We can use it to make movies, to make scary movies, right? What also, they're like, also, we're low-key kind of ghost hunters. We kind of believe in that kind of stuff, too. No. So if we can get some, like, evidence of paranormal activity, even better, right? So the whole thing, and then there's a voiceover right away where this guy is like, he sets it up because it's a couple. So it's the guy talking, he sets it up and he's like, I'm finishing this film to figure out what happened, blah, blah. And then you watch it as a documentary, as a handheld made documentary. Right. So, it doesn't look great, you know, as you would expect of the aesthetic of it. It makes sense. Aesthetic wise, it makes sense. But when they're like, moving the camera a lot in a way, in a quote unprofessional way, you know, that we would if we were just fucking around with the camera. When they start running here or there, I was getting that old Blair Witch Project, like queasies. Like, listen, I'm a little baby when it comes to the motion sickness. I'm sorry, but you're like, oh, I'm gonna say all that. And then the sound in the theater was cranked up. So this isn't necessarily their fault, but the sound was cranked up, which is usually a good thing. But their, like, soundtrack or whatever was already pretty loud and it felt like pretty hard on the high end. Mm-hmm. It was almost like not a screechy quality, but like it literally was like at times like, this shit is fucking, it's like irritating. The movie was irritating. The visual look of it irritated me. The sound of it was like, I don't like the way this sounds. And then the characters on screen, aside from a scene here or there, I was like, I would hate to be locked in with these people.
Any of them.
Nightmare blunt rotation. They say that. No, yeah. Actually, the third guy, like the gay guy or whatever, who's the friend, he's like the one kind of cool one, maybe. Maybe. You don't get to see him enough to make them. But the other two, I was like, sorry guys, I can't. I think you go, wow, you drive me. And they're all wearing every seat, they're wearing a different shirt with a horror film on it. So I'm spending half the movie then just like looking at their shirt, being like, oh, yeah, no, it's a good movie. Yeah, I agree.
Well, why can't this movie be
yeah,
good?
Yeah, why can't I be watching this right now? That's it. Why am I here watching this? So then it's like it becomes like a haunted house Blair Witch kind of thing, sort of. And that does introduce a really fun idea. Which I don't want to say what it is. There is a good like hook for like the third act sort of thing, and for the ending / epilogue. Like, you know, like the movie has ideas that I really like. It's just the way that it was actually put together. I wanted to get out of that theater, you know. And we sit through some stuff, man.
Yeah, like, yeah, we have.
I'm from the world of like, what kind of fucked up weird shit can we see? There was just something about this movie that I was just like, this is just mostly irritating. Mm-hmm. That's just the word that is. I'm feeling right now as I'm feeling this movie.
It'll end up on Shudder eventually.
You know what? Why not? There's 1,000% worse stuff on Shudder than this, for sure. Get Shudder. Anyone, pick this thing up. They're worse movies. They're far worse movies. Florida Film Festival has a pretty solid hit rate, I feel like, for movies that I've enjoyed. Mm. Especially this year. That was really the only one. And then also, maybe they knew what they were doing. The short film that played in front of it, this thing called LiDAR, is like some sort of experimental, like, maybe these guys are still in college, I don't know. Everything was like a fake thermal vision, and the soundtrack was all super fuzzy on purpose, and it was sort of like a sort of dreamy first person nightmare sort of thing, and I was just like confused and annoyed. Not good for the next movie then.
No.
That movie set me up for being confused and annoyed. That next one starts.
Made you confused and annoyed.
Made me not confused, but annoyed. Irritated, annoyed, and at times a bit queasy.
There we go.
A little queasy. Not exactly what you want when you go see a movie.
No.
So that's the way I ended my film festival. But they did a good job. Oh, you know what you would appreciate that they did this year? The whole... All the footage, all the things they played before each movie, cut it way down.
Good.
There's
one, that thing used to be long as fuck.
You'd be sitting there for like 8 minutes as they play like a whole skit.
Uh huh. No. And then some old man's up like, thanks for coming. I've been doing this for 50 years and blah, blah, blah.
Well, they do still do like the intro, the guest intro, the mic doing the intro. It's like, God, all these people are terrible. But the There's like a quick visual, like Florida Film Festival thing that was like maybe 15 seconds, and then a 30 second Full Sail ad, which I hadn't seen before. It was a new ad, and then that's it. And then the movie started. So less than a minute from them being like, start the movie. Within a minute, the movie started.
I was like,
oh my God, this is incredible.
No kids with lisps.
No, time stops. No, none of that. Nothing to point fun at. Nothing to laugh at. Time didn't stop. For like 3 years in a row, too, man. They were got lazy with that one. No, much better. Much better in the voiceover world this time. Man. Time. It's a good long time on Florida Film Fest stuff. All right, so we're going to move on. We're going to talk about Sinners now.
Yeah, let's talk about this fucking Irish folk vampire Lord of the Dance. What the effing fuck?
So it's for sure like a commentary.
A PFT Media production.